This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Greater Cincinnati is home to hidden experiences and amazing vistas for those willing to get out and do a bit of walking. And what better time of year to go exploring? Maybe even this weekend, which is looking pretty nice. The second edition of 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles, Cincinnati, is your guide to all these amazing places, full of insider information on what not to miss. And with new hikes and updated maps, author and naturalist Tammy York highlights hiking destinations within 60 miles of Greater Cincinnati. And she joins us this afternoon to talk about her book and the great places to hike in our area. Tammy, good to have you here this afternoon. Your book is really amazing. The detail in it is tremendous. You have pictures, you have maps, you have GPS coordinates, specific details about each place. Now, how did you pull all of this together? It must have taken a lot of legwork and research to do this.
Legwork is very true. A lot of legwork. And also, for all the maps, I use a Garmin 60CX. And all those are mapped using a GPS system. And then the maps are downloaded into Delorme format. And then from there, there's a wonderful cartographer who makes them look pretty. Because my raw data is not exactly the prettiest thing to look at.
Well, how did you get all the specific details? I mean, you talk about certain places where you turn a certain way and certain places where you find a certain thing. I mean, that was just from going out and walking it, wasn't it?
Yeah, most of the trails are hiked a minimum of 2 times, some of them 3 and 4 times apiece. So I go out and I take extremely detailed notes while I'm out on the trail. I'm one of those people who's probably a little OCD in that regards. So I want to give you as much information as possible when you go out. And I also, for the parents, I want to give them enough information so that when they go out with their kids, they can say, like, I know there's one trail particular at the very beginning of a bridge on the left-hand side. There's a persimmon tree. And it's kind of unusual to see that right in the middle of the woods. So I point that out, you know, hey, right before you cross this bridge on your left, you can look really genius. You know, there's a persimmon tree here. It's just some things like that that make the hike unique and special because you're seeing the things that most people would just blow right past.
And then your kids or whoever might happen to be with you is really impressed because you knew that was a persimmon tree.
Yeah, they're like, wow, she really knows her stuff, yeah.
What specific criteria did a hike have to meet to make it into your handpicked list?
It had to be something I'd send my friends on, particularly my friends that have children of their own. So I had to meet the safety requirements for it. I would feel comfortable sending a friend there. I wouldn't have to worry about my vehicle being broken into when I got back. That I would feel safe while I was hiking. So that's kind of the basic criteria because, you know, if I would feel comfortable sending a friend of mine with 2 small children on the hike, then it made it into the book. Now, myself, when I started doing the first edition of the book, I had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at the time. And the 2-year-old had no concept of the word no stop. So any hike that had the word cliff in it, she did not come with us because it was so much stress just trying to make sure she didn't run off the edge of the cliff.
So you yourself were a hiker. You've been a hiker for quite some time, haven't you? How did you get started?
Well, I got started because I grew up on a farm. And if you didn't want to do chores all day, you went and played. And that was basically wandering through the woods. And you got well enough of wandering through the woods that you didn't need a compass. You didn't need a map. You knew that at the oak tree, you took a right. You knew your directions. You knew north, south, east, and west. You knew where the creek ran to. So if you just followed the creek, you'd be able to get back to the right property. So there are all these things that you learned while you were out there from the land that gave you your directions on how to get through the woods.
So let's talk about some of the specific hikes. One of them that I found interesting was Miami University Natural Areas and Hiking Trails. And you say they just might give you the opportunity to be a kid again. And why is that?
They're fun. When you go to Bachelor Woods, which is at Miami of all, one of the first things you do is you cross a stream on these, basically they're concrete pylons. So you get to hop from round thing to round thing to round thing crossing over the stream. Of course, in the process of doing that, you have to stop and you have to watch the minnows down below. And if you're watching the minnows down below, you have to flick a few rocks into it to see what the minnows do. So then as you go on the hike, there's different experiments they'll be running there. Like they do one for leaf litter where there's all these laundry baskets through the woods. And it's just this bizarre thing because there's 100 laundry baskets right in the middle of the woods. And then they have deer exclusion areas. So it's like this adventure of like going almost into a wonderland about all these weird things that are going on in the woods. And then all of a sudden you come to this beautiful pond and you've got kingfishers. You might have a couple green herons and maybe occasional little great blue heron that lands in the pond. And that's really cool just to sit and kind of chillax around. And then you go through like an evergreen forest. So you go through all these different habitats as you're walking there. And then the crowning jewel, the top of the cake, is that there's a suspension bridge that you get to go across. And the suspension bridge has a lot of wiggle to it. In fact, actually, when I was out there redoing the book, I was about not quite halfway. I was about a third of the way across, and the track team was running down the trail behind me. I have never crossed a bridge faster. So it's like, I don't want to be bounced off. So, you know, there's just so many different dynamics to the hikes. And each hike has its own thing that, you know, its own adventure, its own sense of magic and wonder to it. The main thing I keep telling people is you have to slow down to enjoy that.
Is this also a good place for kids to hike?
Yeah. It's a really nice hike. It's relatively easy, moderately flat. Although my children tell me that I have no concept of what the word flat means.
Sounds like my wife. She doesn't either. A steep incline is flat to my wife.
Yeah. but for the most part, it's relatively flat. There aren't any hills that you can't do. You could just take a couple breaks. And I mean, it is glaciated area of Ohio, so it is, you know, fairly flat.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, tell us what your favorite place to hike is. And also, you can email us, talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Now, Pennywort Cliffs Preserve, that's in Indiana,
yeah,
right? You're laughing about this one. You had a great description in the book. You said it's a serene trek through the woods along an old road that passes in and out of existence. That sounds like a really great way to escape your worries and your cares.
Yeah, it is. And I do tell people, too, you have to know map and compass or bring a GPS with you when you do this hike, because that hike in particular is more like on the very edge of just woods wandering, where you just go out and you wander through the woods. There's really no actually a trail there, because the road system that is there isn't. It is the old farm. The farm that used to be there is the roads that were with the farm. So, and when I do say it wanders in and out of existence, there's trees growing right up in the middle of where you would expect the road to be. So it takes you a while to make sure that you're actually on the path and you're not on a deer path. But there are some markings along it. So if you just pay really close attention to the trees, you'll know that you're on the right trail. But it is really, really nice, because hardly anyone goes there. It's a relatively quiet hike. It's a lot of fun. The only thing is, if you go this time of year, there's a lot of orb weaver spiders that are out.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you just constantly...
I don't like spiders.
I can feel people cringing. You just keep constantly walking into those little fine webs that they spin across the trail.
There's Governor Bebb Metro Park in Butler mm-hmm. County, which that's up my way. And this one is like taking a trip back in time, isn't it, to take a look at Ohio's pioneering past?
Yeah, it's really nice, because they do have the Pioneer Village there. They have the covered bridge, which is really cool. There are a lot of different things about the trail. And I like that the trail goes through a really open meadow area. And they have bluebird boxes that are in that. So if you're out there during the springtime, you're going to have bluebirds flitting around. And bluebirds are really, really territorial on their boxes. They don't like people getting near them. So that's always kind of fun, because once you get close to a bluebird box, if they're nesting, they get rather grumpy.
A bluebird gets grumpy?
Oh, yeah. And they'll buzz your head, and they'll put all these machinations on to try to scare you away. So it is it's kind of entertaining as you're walking through. The little birds are kind of dive bombing you and letting you know you should not be there, that they're not happy that you're in their living room. So
I thought they were supposed to be the bluebirds of happiness, but I guess
not during nesting season.
So the hikes that your book covers, they're all within a 60-mile radius of I-275. So it covers three states: Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, 25 counties. Is that right?
I think so.
So when you consider that, how does the greater Cincinnati area stack up when it comes to the various hiking experiences that it has?
You mean just like in general?
How's it compared to other areas? We have a lot of variety and a lot of...
Yeah, we have a lot of variety. And I think part of that's because of the glacier system. You have part of the area that was quite literally pancaked flat. If you go over to Muscatatuck, that area is just flat, 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 flat. And that's really nice, because that offers you different opportunities, especially Muscatatuck National Wildlife Refuge. They have water impoundments. They can control the level of the water there, so they get all different types of birds in. If you go down to Clifty Falls, you get a completely different experience. It feels like you've walked into something rather surreal, because, you know, you are inside of a canyon. And then on the other hand, if you go up to Clifton Gorge, and even though those both are cliff places and they both are canyon places, they're vastly different. Clifton Gorge has a completely different system of plants. Most of the plants there were dragged down from Canada and then dropped back off as the glaciers retreated. So you have different yews and different types of wildflowers that are there that aren't found anywhere else, simply because of the type of systems that's down in Clifton Gorge, and that it's really cool and cool. I don't mean like cool like caveman cool. I mean cool like chilly, and it also has a lot of water mist in it. So it's just a completely different experience. And I think that's one thing that's good about this area is that you can get vastly different experiences. Because then if you go out to Adams County, you're in a whole different world out in Adams County, because you have the Buffalo Beets and everything else out there. You know, the Chaparral Prairies, and you have all these different great wildflowers. You have Buzzard Roost Rock. You have a lot of great difference just within a small mileage area.
You know, talking about the variety in Cincinnati, and of course, one thing that varies a lot in Cincinnati is the weather. In some cases, you can go out on the same day. It's not even going to be the same weather. But I guess, in your opinion, weather is something that you shouldn't let interfere with a good hike.
No, and a lot of people do. People are like, oh, you know, it might be raining. So what? Grab a raincoat. It's not that big of a deal. And then plus, the other thing is that I've seen some of the absolute best things out on the trail when it's been raining out. In particular, one time I was up at Beaver Creek Wildlife Area, and they have a deck that goes through the wetlands area. And along the deck, I started noticing that all the crayfish were coming out of the wetland, and they were walking along the deck. I was like, well, that's kind of cool, because there's like a little lip, so they really can't get out. And then I realized that all the raccoons had figured out all the crayfish were stuck on the deck. And so it was like a raccoon crayfish boil out there, because all the raccoons were literally just lined up eating the crayfish off the deck. And how often do you get a chance to see that in your lifetime? You know, it's just a really cool experience. So don't let rain, don't let snow, don't let any of that stuff impede. The only thing I tell is, like, if there's a thunderstorm, you know, be smart and don't go out in the middle of a lightning storm. But otherwise, go out and enjoy the day.
Scott called, and he recommends Buzzard's Gorge, which is up north, and he wanted to know if you'd ever hike that.
I actually haven't heard of Buzzard's Gorge.
Okay, we're stumped, Scott. Sorry.
I'm writing it down.
Have to investigate that one for the next edition of this book, because you do update this, I take it, so every so often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets updated about every 4 to 5 years.
We're going to take a short break. We're talking with Tammy York about 60 hikes within 60 miles of Cincinnati, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Tell us what your favorite place is to hike. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and we're talking with Tammy York today. She is an author and naturalist. Her book is 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles. And if you've got a favorite place you like to hike and you'd like to ask some questions, call 513-419-7100. Tammy, there were some hikes on the list that were kind of surprising. At least they were to me personally. There are places that I wouldn't normally associate with hiking. Eden Park, for example, is on mm-hmm. your list. And why does that make the list?
There's so much diversity at Eden Park. It's a very nice urban park that you can go to. And while you're on the trail, there are different things you can stop and do. I liked it because there was a lot of history with it. And I also liked it because you could stop off at the art museum. You could go look at Mirror Lake. Then they have the memorial up at the top. You know, the water tower is really cool with the gargoyles. Then you have the beautiful area down by the Twin Lakes with all the statuary and stuff down there. So I really liked it because of all those reasons. And that's one of the reasons I included it, as well as the absolutely stunning, gorgeous view that you have of the Ohio River. It's just a really nice place to enjoy kind of the heart of Cincinnati and also be able to enjoy being outdoors at the same time.
And Pyramid Hill Sculpture Park and Museum, that's another one that rather surprised me. I've been there, and the sculptures are amazing. But, you know, it dawned on me when I was reading that section that is a pretty good hike, because there are a lot of elevation changes in it.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to walk.
No, there are a lot of elevation changes in it. It is pretty, because you do have all the sculptures that you're walking by. Plus, those are really nice markers, too. You know, like, you can turn left at this statue. And then the thing that's nice about that is, on one of the trails, there's a pond towards the back corner. And we had so much fun when we were out there catching little garter snakes and frogs and stuff that were right on the edge of the pond. And we've gone out and actually hiked that one quite a few times, because my kids absolutely loved being able to go out and see that many frogs and snakes all in one small area.
Let's talk with Trevor in Loveland. Good afternoon, Trevor. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Yes, hello. How are you doing?
Really well, thank you. Tell us about your favorite place.
So my favorite place is the Red Wing Trail at the Cincinnati Nature Center, Roe Woods.
Yep.
It's a great hike. You can do it in about 2 hours. It's just a little over 5 miles. And what I like about it is you can be going through open fields, then you have old growth forests. There's a lot of elevation change on the hike, and for something that's convenient to the suburbs, I can't think of a better hike.
Yeah, I love Cincinnati Nature Center because it has so much variety at it. The Red Wing Trail is really great. Like you said, there's a lot of elevation change. There's the there's old growth woods along that trail. The other trail I really like is the I call it the Fall Trail, and I think it's called like the Maple Trail or the Leaf Trail. It's the one with a leaf as the marker for it. I'm sorry, the Ridge Trail is what it's called. And that trail goes up a very steep hill and then goes through a beautiful, primarily sugar maple, a little bit of oak forest. It's really, really pretty. But all the trails at Cincinnati Nature Center are great. And the thing that, if you're just starting out hiking, that is a great place to go. Right at the very front of the entrance, they have a little display with like little test tubes in it. And they go out and they pick the wildflowers that are in bloom. So you can come up and you can take a look at that display, take a couple photos of it. And then while you're out on your hike, you can figure out what plants you're seeing, because those are the only plants that they put up are the ones that are actually in bloom at the time. And they also have the Nature's Playscape, which is a nature playground for kids.
Trevor, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
Let's talk with Carol in Delhi. Good afternoon, Carol. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks for taking my call. I live right on the edge of Miles Edwards Park, which is in the Western Reserve Corridor on the west side of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay, it goes from the Ohio River up all the way past Price Hill. And it's quite deep. We have 37 acres behind us. But the question I have for you, I was out hiking it yesterday, and I saw a sign that said that the park was closed because it was deer hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
And are you familiar with people being able to hunt deer in the parks?
I know that several of the parks do allow hunting, mainly as a control measure. And typically, well, actually what you're seeing this time of year is that they're probably having a controlled hunt that's an archery season hunt. So they have people who are qualified deer hunters, and they're hunting with archery equipment, which has a limited range. So they're doing that to help maintain the deer population, because one of the things is that when you have a park that's surrounded by an urban area, and the deer population gets too high, it can actually cause a lot of damage to the songbird population and to other populations of animals that live in that area. Because the deer will quite literally mow everything 8 feet and down. So I'd say that's probably what they're doing, is they're doing some type of control measure to help better manage their land for all the populations of animals that they have.
You know, and Carol, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. And that brings up a good point, too, that when you're hiking, you need to be safety conscious, don't you? You need to be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, you need to be aware of your surroundings. When they have the hunting seasons, they usually are very clearly marked, and they might shut down a portion of the park for the hunting season, or they'll tell you. But, you know, if you're going to be out during, like, spring turkey season, or you're going to be out during deer season, you're really concerned about it, just put on a blaze orange vest. You can pick them up for, you know, like 98 cents. They're not that expensive. And just wear that out. And, of course, never, ever go out and start sounding like a deer or a turkey when you're in the woods. It's just foolhardy.
That sounds like it'd be a huge mistake.
Yeah, a huge mistake to do. So, you know, just be aware of your surroundings, because, you know, like areas like state forest and some portions of state parks, wildlife management areas, those areas are going to be open to hunting. And hunting is, I know, like, hunters get a lot of grief for what they do, but hunting is very, very crucial to the areas in maintaining good population numbers, so that one population doesn't overwhelm the rest of the animals that are using the area. And also, several of those areas were actually purchased with money from hunting and fishing dollars. So, you know, we wouldn't have Beaver Creek Wildlife Area without that. You know, there wouldn't be Spring Valley Wildlife Area without that. So while some people might not agree with hunting, hunting does actually provide a lot of habitat for wildlife.
Tammy, what are some of the best places that you can go hiking with your children?
Well, that's the one thing Cincinnati is very blessed with. There are a lot of really, really great places to go with your kids. Like I said, Cincinnati Nature Center is by far, they're the top. California Woods, I absolutely love. And I like California Woods because they have such an old structure to the woods. It's really, really pretty. The kids can go run on the trail. You can see them for a pretty good distance. So your children have an opportunity to be on their quote unquote own and to lead the hike, but you still have the hike is safe for them, which is really important, is for them to develop that skill set and that set of confidence when they're out on the trail. Then as far as other places, I mean, really any place around here has great hiking opportunities for kids. You know, if you get out like to the Adams County area, there's really a lot of great hikes, a lot of great things for them to see. For instance, like Adams Lake State Nature Preserve has Allegheny mound ants. So the kids can, they can sit and they can watch these ants work and build up a mound, which is really cool to see. And, you know, they can go to the Wilderness Trail, which has, you know, cliffs, and they can climb over the top of those. So each place has something unique for the kids to enjoy. Just if you have really young ones with you, that's the only thing is, you know, just be careful when you're at any of the places because, you know, they have cliffs in them, like, you know, Clifty Falls, Clifton Gorge, stuff like that, because they could take a tumble and that would be very tragic for it to happen. So just, you know, be smart like I was and just don't take the one that has no idea what stop and no means and, you know, on one of those trails. But we do have some really great places to go. And actually, I do have information on my website, which is hikecincy.com. That they can go to and they can find trails to go with their kids, or they can, I'm also on Facebook at 6060 Cincy Hikes, and they can go to my Facebook page and they can actually direct message me if they're looking for something very specific. For example, I had somebody contact me with a mobility disability, and so I was able to give them recommendations on where they could go.
Do you know any, speaking of that, do you know of trails in the area that are designed to be more accessible to someone who might have trouble walking or someone who might be in a wheelchair?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Miami Whitewater Forest. They have the beautiful bike trail that goes around there. It's, I think it's 8.1 or 8.3 miles. Then they have a shorter inner loop trail. It goes through woods. It goes through open prairies. It goes through restored habitat, wetlands. So there's always something to see. And in fact, if you go out there during the springtime, in the wetland area, the coursing of the frogs is so loud, it's actually hard to hear the person that you're with because the volume is so loud. Witten Woods has trails through it, so does Sharon Woods. And then also Caldwell Park has an area that is a very, very wide paved path that juts into the woods so that if somebody had a severe mobility disability, like if they were bedridden, you could actually take them into the woods and they could be able to enjoy the woods as well.
That brings back memories. You were talking about the frogs. My father-in-law lived on the edge of Miami Whitewater. And during the summer, you literally couldn't have a conversation out front because it was so noisy.
Oh, yeah.
You're right about that. You make one of the points in your book that hit home with me. You mentioned that you're not what you'd expect for a hiker, and I'm the same way, Tammy. But I still like to hike and walk. But that's the beauty of the whole thing, isn't it? That you don't have to be an athletic type to engage in this, do you?
Yeah, you don't have to, you know, pretty much if you can put one foot in front of another and, you know, follow directions, you can go on a hike. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be crazy, insanely athletic. You can go out and enjoy the woods. And there has been so much research. If you go to Children and Nature Network, which is a website, particularly Richard Love, who wrote the book, A Last Child in the Woods, there is tons of information that shows the actual real benefits of taking your kids outdoors and letting them go on a hike. It improves their cognitive abilities. It improves their emotional IQ, math skills. Across the board, it improves everything with kids.
So hiking is about enjoying your surroundings. So what advice do you have for so people can really have an enjoyable hike?
Slow down.
It's not a race.
It's not a race. And I say the journey isn't the destination. The journey is the destination. You are there for the journey, not for getting from point A to point B. We get from point A to point B all day long. We get up in the morning, we go to work, we go from work, we go home. We're constantly going from point A to point B and trying to figure out the fastest way we can get everything done. On a hike, the whole point is to just let all that go. And just enjoy the hike. Just slow down. Pay attention to the color of the leaves. What do the leaves sound like? What do I hear? Pish for birds. You know, watch the bluebirds dive bomb you while you're in the prairie. You know, look at the different plants that are in bloom. Just slow down and enjoy the hike. And like I said, I see so many people almost running the trail out rather than just really absorbing everything that's there and taking it all in and letting themselves just relax.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Author and naturalist Tammy York. Her book is 60 Hikes Within 60 Miles. After the break, a place you would never have dreamed of hiking just a few short years ago is now a wildlife habitat covered with lots of trails. The story of Fernald. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.